Mike Pendeck.
Oh, for the love of God. I tell you what, since yesterday, it's been nonstop wall-to-wall coverage, like it's the second coming of Jesus. Pennsylvania raising 70-mile-per-hour speed limit. Shumway's out there with his safety jacket on. I looked at the video feed, and Heather's out there now, well off the highway, though, reporting on the 70-mile-per-hour speed limit. Like Jesus has just arrived to save us all. It's too little, too late, far as I'm concerned. We have invited on our Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, once again, Gary Biller. It's been a while, since we talked with him. He's the president of the National Motorists Association. Hey, Gary.
Hi, Mike. Always pleased to be on your show.
Gary, you agree with me it's too little, too late. I mean, honestly, it should be a higher speed limit, I think, in stretches of the turnpike, for example, these interstates, especially in this part of the state where, you know, in about 5 minutes you're out of the urban areas. It's just wide open space. It's just ridiculous. Your opinion, sir?
Yeah, and that's been proven by several states. In fact, kind of the current state of affairs is that as of today, there are 40 states that have posted speed limits of 70 miles per hour or higher.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania actually joined that group a couple of years ago, I guess in 2014, about 200 miles worth of interstate were increased to 70 miles per hour.
Actually, I think it was only 100 miles, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You may be right. I may be wrong on that. I think it's only I think it was only the turnpike, and they raised it. That turnpike used to be 70 miles an hour. Back in the, I think it was the 70s or 60s, it was 70. And when they first opened, it didn't even have a speed limit.
Yeah, you know, the whole U.S. Interstate system was designed or put in place in the Eisenhower administration. And you're right, early on there were no speed limits. And then shortly after, 70 miles per hour was kind of the norm. And if you think about car design back in the 50s and 60s, you know, With the safety technology the way it is today, it was a world of difference, and yet they were, you know, running along at 70 miles per hour back then.
Well, most of the traffic now, anybody who's, you know, is the least bit observant will realize the traffic is at least running 70 miles an hour, usually faster than that on the interstates, frankly.
Yeah, and Pennsylvania is not unusual in that regard.
No.
You drive interstates and pretty much, or state highways to some extent too, multi-lane highways in many states. You get run over if you're going 60, 65 miles per hour, and it's always safer to go with the flow of traffic as much as you can, kind of reduce the speed differential between vehicles. That's where conflicts happen. If you've got larger, you know, cars are going too slow or slower than,
right,
than most of the traffic, you're going to get passing, you're going to get lane changes, you're going to get braking.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for everybody to be pretty much at the same speed.
Yeah, and the biggest problem, as far as I can see out in this part of the state, quite frankly, and I will drive occasionally to Harrisburg on the turnpike. It's the most boring drive in the world, and I mean, typically I set my cruise control at about somewhere around 70, and actually there are people passing me, quite frankly.
Right.
When you get to, I thought it was interesting too, when you get to the section where they were testing the 70 miles per hour, which is closer to Harrisburg and then further east, the traffic actually, I know this is bizarre, and maybe it's just anecdotal, but this happened several times in several different trips. What I noticed was traffic actually slowed down in the 70 section. They didn't slow down much below 70 or anything like that,
mm-hmm,
but instead
mm-hmm.
of doing 75 and some people doing 80, the traffic seemed to hover right around 70, at least that anecdotally, but this happened several times for me, so I thought, isn't that a curiosity here? They set the speed limit at 70. You would think that the consensus of the opponents of this is always, well, if you set it at 70, then they're going to go 80. Actually, that's not what they did.
It's not the case, and again, there's a lot of case studies from Utah to Michigan where the key here, and I don't want to get too technical, but the 85th percentile speed, which is, I know PennDOT has been doing this very carefully starting, as we mentioned, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Doing speed studies, looking at traffic patterns, looking at crash data, and carefully determining what the 85th percentile speed is, and can they set the speed limits there. The 85th percentile speed is kind of what it sounds like, which is, you do a speed study of free-flowing traffic in a certain area, and you set the speed within, say, 5 miles per hour of that at which 85% of the cars or vehicles are going at.
Right.
You're always going to have the outliers going faster than the norm.
Right.
But if 85% of the traffic is going at 72 miles per hour, then a 70 mile per hour or even a 75 mile per hour limit is really what,
very reasonable
standpoint, is the way to be.
Yeah, very reasonable. And you know, you mentioned the Turnpike in their studies. I thought, and you know what, I got to give them credit for this because they were honest about this. I would have been surprised if they would have found otherwise. In nearly 2 years ago, the speed limit, this is from a story published, I believe, today. Let me check the source of this. This is from the Trib here in Pittsburgh. Nearly 2 years ago, the speed limit was increased to 70 miles per hour in three pilot areas on the Turnpike and on Interstates 80 and 380. PennDOT and Turnpike officials said there were no significant increases in speed or crashes in those areas. I'm going to read that again. PennDOT and the Turnpike said there were no significant increases in speed or crashes in those areas. Exactly what we would have expected to find. And frankly, it gives the lie to all the naysayers because they did this test for 2 years.
There's always a lot of hand-wringing and teeth-gnashing when people talk about raising the speed limit and, you know, and predictions of death and mayhem and carnage on the highways. But the statistics, as you just mentioned, Mike, don't prove that out.
Except for this study that supposedly came out from one of these insurance industry things. And right. I do want to talk about that because I have real problems with that. I saw that when it first came out a couple of weeks ago, and I decided not to comment on it at that time. Because I felt that we would comment when they actually raised the speed limits. They were talking about, okay, finally we're going to raise the speed limits on the rest of the interstates. Our test is over. We got good results on the Turnpike and on by the way, you're right. I forgot about I-80. It was about 100 miles of the Turnpike and I think another 100 on the I-80. So I forgot about them. I don't travel I-80 very often at all, frankly. So I totally forgot. I apologize. You were right. At any rate, they did the study, and then they said, okay, so at some point in the spring, and here we are today, they're going to raise the speed limit in most of the other interstates outside of the cities. So I do want to talk about this other study. Gary, I want you to hang on with me for a few minutes. Maybe if we have time, we'll talk about the red light camera fiasco and how that's going, because you guys are on top of that, this ripoff that's been around the country, and now there's pushback. Some of these cities are not taking out these red light cameras because they A, don't work, and B, they're a ripoff of the motorists. Gary Biller is with us, and we'll talk some more about the speed limit and red light cameras with him. He's the president of the National Motorists Association.
Love listening to your favorite stations online? Download the Radio.com app to get on-the-go access to hundreds of HD radio stations, award-winning podcasts, and top entertainment and music articles. Go to apps.radio.com for more information or download today from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
There's something for every sports fan on CBSLocalSports.com. Watch live radio shows and original video programming while reading national articles from some of the best writers in the country. Visit CBSLocalSports.com today.
12:20 on KDKA. Talking about the 70 mile per hour speed limit. It's been topping the news all day long, all last night. It's like it's like the second coming of Jesus. And yet, the Turnpike, for example, had been 70 back in the 60s when they first opened it. There was no speed limit. Now, granted, there weren't that many cars on the Turnpike at that time, so that's a little bit different. But West Virginia had 70 miles per hour on their interstate. Ohio, some of the worst drivers in the world. The biggest problem in Western Pennsylvania today are Ohio drivers poking along under the speed limit, as it is currently set, or it was set, in the passing lane. It won't move over. And then people have to go up and veer around them and brake hard because of these idiots. And they almost always have Ohio plates. You check that out, you know I'm right. Check it. I've had numerous people say, I didn't believe you, but then I started noticing, you're right. It's those Ohio drivers. I don't know what it is about those people. Maybe something in the water over there. I don't know. I do not know. But even they had 70 miles per hour on their Turnpike. You cross over from Pennsylvania, bam, it's 70 miles an hour. Traffic starts thinning out. Everybody's moving. And that's part of the problem that they have with these artificially low speed limits. Gary Biller, the president of the National Motorists Association, you were talking about that earlier. Let's talk about this now. This came out a few weeks ago. This was a last gasp attempt by some of these organizations for their own nefarious reasons, were trying to prevent more states like Pennsylvania from raising the speed limits to actually match reality, what people are actually driving. This is the one, Gary, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. I'm sure you're aware of this one. I love this. This is from a story. This, again, I think is the Trib. In a new study, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, a national nonprofit, concluded that higher speed limits over two decades cost 33,000 people their lives. In the next breath, they say this, and this is a direct quote, although fatality rates fell during the study period, they would have been much lower if not for states' decision to raise speed limits, said Charles Farmer, Insurance Institute Vice President for Research and Statistical Services. What's your conclusion when you listen to something and hear something like that?
You know, Mike, I've been with the NMA for 7 years, and the IIHS, the Insurance Institute you mentioned, has put out two or three reports during that time that pretty much say the same thing. All are predictive models. There's no hard data. In fact, in the latest, I hate to call it a study, it's more of a report, but yep. In the latest report, they mentioned they've built into their model is alcohol consumption rates, the percentage of young drivers they've estimated on the road. And it's like, what does it have to do with hard data as far as trying to judge serious crash and fatality statistics?
And so, how can you take all that together and say, oh, here's another one. Let me read this one, too. Here's another one of their conclusions. Looking at speed limit increases from 1993 through 2013 in 41 states, the Institute found that each 5 miles per hour increase resulted in an overall 4% increase in fatalities. But there's no direct connection there. There's no direct correlation there. There's from 1993 to 2013, there's probably a hell of a lot more cars on the road, for one thing, right?
It's a guesstimate or prediction by their part. And in fact, if you go from 1993 to 2013 or 2014, per the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration statistics, our roads are safer than ever before. The fatality rates dropped almost 40% over that period.
Well, and then there are all the other factors here that you can't say that because the speed limit was raised, and now even if you did have more fatalities, you cannot say directly unless you've got empirical data to indicate that speed was what caused it. It could be distracted driving. It could be drunk driving. It could be drugged driving, which police tell me now privately that is a bigger problem than drunk driving is. But here's an interesting tidbit here. This is from the Post-Gazette. The Turnpike's Carl DeFebo said that when the speed limit was increased to 70 miles per hour in a 100-mile area between Blue Mountain and Morgantown interchanges, there was no significant increase in driver speed, and accidents actually went down slightly. PennDOT found similar results in the pilot areas. Spokesman Rich Kirkpatrick said that would have been I-80, and it will continue to monitor results. So... There it is. I have to stop there because I got to check on traffic here. Can you hold on for just a few moments?
Sure.
I appreciate that. Gary Biller is with us, president of the National Motorist Association. This is good news. Gary Biller, president of the National Motorist Association. You guys stick around for another segment, and we'll further discuss the speed limit thing, and also talk about some of the causes potentially of the accidents, as opposed to speed. Speed sometimes is a cause, right, Gary? But not always. And we have other problems out there in the highways that I want to discuss with you. All right? So we'll do that.
Very good.
We will do that when we continue after Rose checks your latest news. And also want to spend some – we got to talk a little bit about the red light camera thing. I just got an email from a listener today about a guy that's apparently cut wires to one of the red light cameras. So now he's in trouble for that. That's coming up as well.
Know what's going on with your favorite artists, bands, and celebs. Sign up today to get the Radio.com daily newsletter, which covers all your breaking music and entertainment news. Go to Radio.com/newsletter to get updates directly to your inbox. That's Radio.com/newsletter.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio every weekend for nonstop sports updates and breaking news, including analysis of the hottest topics in sports.
CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listen live every weekend on air or online at CBSSportsRadio.com.
12:36 on KDKA. Mike Pinsak here, along with Gary Biller, president of the National Motorist Association. We're talking about this big story yesterday and today. It's like everybody and his mother in the news media going nuts. We've raised the speed limits in Pennsylvania to 70. Yeah, they've been doing that in West Virginia and Ohio since God knows when. It's 80 in Nevada. There's another one that's higher, isn't there, Gary?
Actually, Texas, West Texas, if anybody's been down there, it's kind of wide open. They did their speed studies, the DOT down there, and raised it to 85 in some sections of West Texas.
Yeah, I love Texas. is Wyoming and it was either Wyoming or Montana or both of them. They didn't have speed limits per se in vast stretches of their highways because it's such a vast, pretty much a barren territory in some of those parts of that state. Do they still have that set up there where there's actually no set speed limit in some of those places?
I think there's some sections. I know Montana, when they kind of did away with any speed limits, and then after that came back with a 70-mile-per-hour speed limit, the fatality rates actually went up when they instituted a speed limit.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because it reflects on something, another point I want to make. The Turnpike says we're still going to keep 55 in certain sections of the Turnpike as they are on the interstates in and around Pittsburgh, for example. Outside the city, then they go to 70. But that speed differential there causes problems, doesn't it?
It does. And as I mentioned before, and this research goes back to the 1960s and has been reaffirmed many times, is that you really want to set speed limits so that, you know, most of the traffic's moving at pretty much the same speed.
Right.
Now, congestion's a whole different factor, but
true.
For free-flowing traffic, let the traffic, and if you institute kind of artificially low speed limits, some drivers are obviously going to want to abide by the posted speed limit. Others are going to go more naturally to the speed that they want to go. And then you have that differential, and your accident rates go up.
Yeah, because you have those bottlenecks. Suddenly you come upon somebody who's driving significantly slower. I'm following the speed limit. Okay, well, great, but that's causing other kinds of traffic issues. I got a Dollar Bank Instant Access message here from Dan, who's I will guarantee is wrong, but we'll run it past you, Gary. We're talking about Ohio drivers, and they tend to stay in the left-hand lane around here, and they drive slower generally, and they won't move over like they're supposed to. In Pennsylvania, you stay right except to pass, and they won't move over. Dan says, Mike, the reason is Ohio drivers drive in the left-hand lane is because semi-trucks are required to drive in the right-hand lane. So everybody who drives in Ohio is constantly in the left-hand lane tends to travel in that lane. That's not true, is it?
It's not true, and it's not a good excuse. Keep right means that whether you're passing or waiting for a free moment to get into the right-hand lane, whether it's passing a truck or any other type of traffic, you should always use the right-hand lanes unless you're passing.
Exactly. Now, I did hear, and I don't know whether this is true or not, maybe you do, that Ohio at one time had two speed limits. And here's another problem, that truckers had to drive at a slower speed than motorists. That may be true. And I did hear a number of people said to me, they think that's why Ohio drivers tended to stay in the left-hand lane, because they were constantly having to pass trucks that were driving slower because they were required to drive slower.
That could well be true. There still are some states that have split speed limits between trucks and other vehicles.
Well, that's
Michigan
stupid.
Is one. Yeah, it is stupid. And we're close allies with a number of trucking associations, and they don't like being limited like that either.
Well, yeah, but that causes its own set of problems, because you all always have, at some point, there's one truck is able to climb a hill faster than the other. And if they're required to, and then they end up trying to pass somebody, but if they're not allowed to go over a certain speed limit, now you're holding everybody else back. I mean, it's just stupid. And once again, you have a speed differential that's created with trucks at one speed and motorists or four-wheeled motorists at other speeds. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The main thing I think that we have to look at now is your organization. Are you doing much, if anything, about distracted driving? I think you are, aren't you?
We are, and you mentioned it before, impaired driving, distracted driving. You know, we talk so much about speed limits, but those two areas, particularly distracted driving, because it affects everybody. There's so much going on inside the vehicle, mm-hmm. so much signage and other things going on outside. That is the biggest problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. What I've noticed anecdotally is that people who are sitting there texting while they're driving tend to drive slower and kind of drift back and forth in the lane. They tend not to drive very fast. Now, that's anecdotal. It's not statistical. Do you have any stats on that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't have any stats. I don't know if I've seen any studies about that, but obviously texting while driving is not a good thing to do, and not from a safety standpoint. We're against texting bans per se, but some people can multitask better than others, but in general, we don't recommend texting or even handheld talking on the phone while you're driving.
Well, I've already admitted that I was wrong on that issue. I was totally against those prohibitions and so forth. I was wrong. We need those prohibitions because apparently most people can't multitask. This just seems to be impossible for them to do so. I want to get to this red light thing because you guys, sure. You and I have talked about this so many times, but one of my listeners sent me a story about a guy in New York known as the Red Light Robin Hood. He was arrested again after cutting wires to red light cameras where yellow light duration times were shortened by the city in order to generate more citations and revenue. The shortened durations at the traffic lights generate $32 million for Suffolk County, New York, which is why the county allows the practice to continue despite their own study showing that they had led to an increase in accidents with injuries. So the red light Robin Hood apparently cut the wires, and so now he's in trouble again. Do you know anything about this guy?
I do. He originally started out by taking a pole and just redirecting the cameras so they didn't face traffic. He got arrested for that.
Yeah.
But he realized, hey, that's not enough. Now we don't recommend vandalism.
No.
But
no,
he realized that's, you know, that alone, that act of civil disobedience isn't working. So he's progressed to what you just talked about, cutting wires and disabling cameras.
Which, again, is not something that any of us advocate, and it is a vandalism, and you can go to jail for doing stuff like that. But the fact is that your organization, in the final minute that we have, your organization, Gary, at the National Motorist Association, you have talked about this so many times, researched this, pointed this right. out, documented the fact that these cities across the country, in cahoots with the, in a conspiracy, that's what the word I would use, with the companies that put up the red light cameras, in order to make money, and they shorten the duration of the yellow light so more people will get targeted and ticketed, and it's not really preventing accidents. If anything, the accident rate at these intersections is actually going up.
Anytime you hire a private for-profit contractor, which is what these camera companies are, and use them as proxies for traffic enforcement or any law enforcement, you bring revenue motives, you bring corruption, which has been proven with red light cameras. And, yeah, I could go on forever about this, Mike, but, yeah, red light cameras and short yellow lights particularly exacerbate the problem.
Yeah, and there was this I go back to this because this is not just your organization. And it's not just anecdotal. There was a TV station investigative unit that actually went out in Florida and documented how they had changed the red or the yellow light duration,
right.
shortened it, so they would get more red light citations with the camera-controlled intersections. They documented it. They reported on it. I think they changed. There was actually a big scandal and controversy about it down in Florida a couple of years ago when this came out. Yeah, and so they I guess they rectified it. But this is the kind of thing that's going on, and this is the kind of thing that they still want to do in Pittsburgh, although that I haven't heard too much about it lately. But I guess if they need more money, they'll start looking at that as well. Gary, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the great work that you guys are doing at the National Motorist Association. Please keep in touch, okay?
Mike, thank you very much.
All right, man. Gary Biller is the president of the National Motorist Association. Okay, now is it my turn? Is it okay now? That commercial fooled me with that music at the beginning. I thought that was our so-called rejoiner music there. Little did I know that was I stepped all over their commercial. I'm sorry. I apologize. 866-391-1020 and Dollar Bank Instant Access. Send me an email to this address, instantaccess@kdka.com. And we were talking about the I was amazed that I was listening to our news and some of the other channels. I just kind of skip around to see what everybody's talking about. Everybody's like, a 70-mile-per-hour speed limit has just been introduced in Pennsylvania highways. And I'm going, where are you people? See, Pennsylvania is this, it's like old Geezerville. It's like, and it's not, I'm not talking about chronological age here. I'm talking about the state of mind. The state of mind in Pennsylvania can be, especially in this part of the state, can be categorized like this. We've always done it this way. There's no reason to change. Right? Exactly. Pennsylvania is, and then there's the old line, it's supposed to be funny, but I say, you know, it's probably true. If the world ends for everybody else today, you'll still have another 5 years in Pennsylvania because it's old Geezerville. Oh, yeah, we've always done it this way. There's no, can't change that. Nope. So, but what's odd about that is in the beginning, Pennsylvania Turnpike was the model for the nation, not for the world, because Hitler and his minions built the Autobahn. So that was a pretty amazing engineering feat, I guess you would call it. But here in Pennsylvania, in the United States, like the Pennsylvania Turnpike was that, this was state-of-the-art road building in the world. I mean, in the United States. And when they first opened the Turnpike, there was no speed limit. And I remember back when my dad used to drive us in the 60s, and we would get on the Turnpike, and I would see the sign, 70 miles per hour, 70 miles per hour. And then suddenly it was, oh, we have to save energy. We have to, everybody has to slow down to 55. What is magic about 55? Nothing, not a damn thing that I know of. I mean, if you really want to save energy, why don't we all just park the car and walk? I mean, really? Maybe you've had this experience. I had a car once. This was years ago. I don't have the car anymore, but it was quite a few years ago. But I found that if I set the speed, the cruise thing at 55, I got X miles per gallon. Because it had its own little built-in computer. So it would tell you, if you, asked it, if you queried it, what am I getting? So then I would try 70. And then I pushed it up a little bit more. Actually, I got better gas mileage, as crazy as it sounds, at 72 miles per hour than I did at 55. So I said, wait a minute, what's so magic about 55? So I talked to some engineers about that, and they said, yeah, it's entirely possible that would happen. It's a lot depends on a lot of factors, aerodynamics, engine, technology, what have you. I'm not an engineer, so I don't really know what the answer is. But they said, yeah, that's entirely possible that you get better gas mileage at a higher speed than you would at a lower speed under certain circumstances. So that isn't that interesting. So here we are. Now the forces of doom, the voices of doom. Oh, my God, every time we raise the speed limit, more people are going to die. But then they have to admit that over the course of their study, the Insurance Institute, actually the number of fatalities dropped. So wait a minute. Well, which is it? More people are dying or not as many people dying? And I do believe that the problems on the highways are primarily not speed. It's people who are distracted primarily by things like texting, which brings us to Tom in Bethel Park. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Mike, just a couple of things that people should put in your mind. Two numbers. At 35 mile an hour, you'll be traveling the length of a football field in 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And 25 mile an hour, you'll be going 3/4 of the length.
Okay.
And the length of a football field, and you're on the road, but, I mean, so many things can happen, even on a highway, a deer coming out or a car pulling in front of you. But
right.
Especially going through a city, people stepping off a curb, people getting the right lane to get off. I mean,
yep.
It's just insane. People should keep this figure in their head. A length of a football field, as soon as I look down, all this can happen to me.
Well, I don't know whether people are going to actually think about it that way, but it's a great point, and you're absolutely right. And I see these people with their heads down, and they're drifting all over the road. And I'll admit it 100 more times. I was wrong. I used to fight tooth and nail against people who said we need to stop the phoning. And it wasn't even texting then when this started. This was just a few years ago. We weren't even arguing about texting. It was just about handheld cell phone use. And I fought tooth and nail against these people. We'd get into shouting matches at times over this. And I would say, obviously some people can't walk and chew gum. And what's the difference between being on the phone and talking to somebody in the car? And we got into all of that stuff. I was wrong. Handheld cell phone use should be prohibited, whether it's texting or what you're doing. Because I see these people, you see these people, you know what I'm talking about. You know it's true. And when I talk to kids in high schools, they say, I talk to them about texting and use of the cell phone while they're driving. And they say, yeah, the real problem is our parents. They keep doing it. And I said, isn't that interesting? Isn't that scary? 12:55.
Love listening to your favorite stations online? Download the Radio.com app to get on-the-go access to hundreds of HD radio stations, award-winning podcasts, and top entertainment and music articles. Go to apps.radio.com for more information or download today from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio every weekend for nonstop sports updates and breaking news, including analysis of the hottest topics in sports.
CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listen live every weekend on air or online at CBSSportsRadio.com.
12:59, real quickie here. This is Joe in Shadow. This has got to be real quick. Go. Or not.
He's all set to go. Hey, coming up, we can still talk about the speed limit, but I'm pretty speed limited out at this point. I want to talk about Ted Cruz's last stand in Indiana. You want to join me on that one? Ted Cruz, and then there's a talk host out there who I believe has lost his mind, who says that what we need to do to save the nation is to fast and to pray for 24 hours.